Midnight at the Oasis.
This week on the Earl Ingram Show, we're diving deep into a conversation that could save lives, yours or someone you love. I'm joined by Dr. Hatim Attar, a leading neurologist with Frederick and the Medical College of Wisconsin, to talk about a silent but deadly medical emergency affecting millions every year, strokes. What are the warning signs? Who's most at risk? How does access to care impact outcomes, especially in undeserved communities? And most importantly, what can you do right now to protect your brain health? Dr. Attar brings his expertise from the front lines of neuroscience to break it all down in plain, powerful terms, making this a must-hear episode for families, caregivers, and anyone concerned about their health and future. We'll talk prevention, recovery, cutting-edge treatments, and the critical importance of community awareness and equitable healthcare access. So tune in, turn it up, and take notes, because this isn't just another interview. It's a life-changing conversation. The Earl Ingram Show, where real issues meet real voices. Catch the episode this week on all streaming platforms, only on civicmedia.us or wherever you follow your podcast. To the Earl Ingram Show. I am honored beyond words to be joined by Dr. Attar. Dr. Attar is with Frederick in the Medical College of Wisconsin. Good morning to you, sir. How are you?
Good morning. Thank you. I'm doing well. Thank you for having me on.
So I am honored because, you know, one of the things that I've always wanted to do when we talked about doing these podcasts was bring information that will alter and change the lives of people. And so my relationship with Frederick and the different doctors and the different systems is one of those things. And I have to say this before we go any further. I'm a patient at Frederick. All of my doctors happen to, are at Frederick. I am excited, and I can tell you exactly how great and important, you know, Frater has been to me and my family, and I'm going to continue to talk about the goodness of Frater Hospital.
Yeah, thank you. And thank you for, trusting Frater and receiving your care there. We as physicians appreciate you using your platform to help us spread awareness about, different conditions and diseases, and hopefully help prevent medical problems for patients.
Well, today the topic is high blood pressure and how it can cause stroke and other issues. And again, I have to say, you're looking at a guy who's 70 years old who has high blood pressure. You're talking to a guy who has high blood pressure. You're talking to a guy who has three siblings who have had strokes, and a sibling two siblings who had aneurysms. So this is clearly near and dear to my heart. Let's get busy. Let's get started. So what is high blood pressure?
Yeah, high blood pressure is when the blood pressure that we check, when it is routinely over 120 by 80. The higher it is, we grade hypertension. So stage one is up to about 130, and then beyond that can get to stage two, hypertension. And you're right, there are various causes for this, and having a genetic predisposition for it can also, increase your risk to develop hypertension as you grow older.
You know, so when I was younger, I heard that term hypertension, never knew what it was. Let's delve a little deeper into what causes hypertension.
Yeah, that's a very good question. It's truly multifactorial. There are various different reasons to develop high blood pressure as we grow older. The genetic component, as we spoke, can definitely increase your risk. Diet, lifestyle, other medications that you might be on all of these factors contribute and can increase risk of high blood pressure.
So is elevated high blood pressure the same as high blood pressure?
Yeah, that's a good point to make a distinction. You know, elevated blood pressure versus a history of hypertension. And, you know, blood pressure is very sensitive to our environment, you know. Different emotions, different levels of exertion, and even the food that we eat can sometimes cause transient elevations in blood pressure. And that's what we call normal. Blood pressure does change minute by minute. And we, you know, usually just check it at most once a day, or if you're in the hospital, of course, admitted, you know, many times a day. If you could have consistent high readings of blood pressure over a period of days and weeks, then that would lead to the diagnosis of hypertension. And then you're at the risk of all the other chronic medical problems that can result from hypertension.
If you're just joining us, my guest is Dr. Hatim Attar. He is with Froedtert and the Medical College of Wisconsin, and we're talking about high blood pressure. Let me ask you, doctor, when I used to always think that 120 over 80 was perfect. Have there been any changes to that?
Yes, you know, in general, we do want the systolic, which is the higher number, the 120 that you quoted. We do want that to be less than 120. And the diastolic and the 80 number, we really want the blood pressure to be lower than that as well. And any number above 120 to the range of 130 you are moving on that spectrum of high blood pressure towards hypertension. And for the diastolic as well, over 80 does meet diagnosis of hypertension.
So should we become alarmed? It almost appears as if, you know, some of us may believe that if I can get my blood pressure lower, when should we be frightened if the blood pressure goes below? How low should we be concerned? Because there's such a thing as low blood pressure as well.
Absolutely. And sometimes, you know, physicians, when we start medications for high blood pressure, can even run the risk of running too low. I think when you start a new medication, checking blood pressure regularly is important. And if you develop any symptoms, the classic ones being lightheadedness or dizziness, those would be markers to say, hey, your blood pressure is a little bit too low. Maybe you should check your blood pressure and discuss this with your primary care doctor and adjust your blood pressure medications accordingly. Having a blood pressure around 110 to 120 range is usually a good target, and going lower than that can sometimes result in symptoms like lightheadedness, dizziness.
So low blood pressure is equally as alarming as high blood pressure.
That's right. It can cause a lot of symptoms, and we actively avoid low blood pressure as well. We should try and, you know, check blood pressure regularly, especially when you start a new medication, to make sure that you're not moving at the other end of the spectrum where your blood pressure gets low or puts you at risk for other symptoms.
So I do know that in my own life, I could tell when my blood pressure is higher than normal, even without having tested it, when I start getting headaches that I can't get rid of. Is that a sign?
Yes, definitely. High blood pressure has many symptoms, and headaches, especially at the back of the head, is somewhat characteristic of it. Some other folks can have vision changes as well. And to be honest with you, having symptoms from high blood pressure is good because it helps early recognition of high blood pressure and then subsequent correction. You know, there are many folks in the community who don't have any symptoms from high blood pressure early on. And so they run high and often don't visit a doctor or check their blood pressure. And then in the long run, develop symptoms that are a result of chronic or long-standing high blood pressure.
I've got a couple other questions. This is, to me, this information is life-changing, and it's why I have so many questions. So I hope you don't mind. One of the things that I also remember when I had low blood pressure was seeing spots before my eyes and getting dizzy. Your body is an amazing, you know, machine. It certainly gives you a warning ahead of time.
That's right. Having floaters sometimes, seeing stars, and if you do have these symptoms, checking your blood pressure, contacting your primary care doctor, and adjusting medications is of utmost importance. Mild, say, dehydration or overexertion that can also result in changing of your blood pressure and pushing you at the extremes on the spectrum and result in symptoms.
So let's talk about tools for checking your blood pressure. Technology is advancing. And so there's, I guess, some apparatus that you can put your finger into, like today when they check your temperature, that they're selling on the market. Is that a safe way? Or is that all these different things that they're putting out here, is there anything that you know of that's any better than the regular old-fashioned thing that you wrap around the arm and check your blood pressure?
That's a good point. The traditional cuff that we attach on the upper arm is specific and sensitive to checking blood pressure as the traditional measure. With the cuff, the sphygmomanometer is the term we use for the machine to check blood pressure. But they are good tools which help patients get an idea. Talking about blood pressure cuffs, I'm happy to repeat.
Yes, sir. Please. It's important. Okay. My guest is Dr. Hatim Atta, and he is with Frederick and the Medical College of Wisconsin. We're talking about high blood pressure. Dr. May is High Blood Pressure Month. Let's talk a little bit about that, Doctor. And so let's talk a little bit about, you know, this month being dedicated to high blood pressure.
That's right. You know, the month of May is also Stroke Awareness Month. And in fact, high blood pressure is the leading cause of stroke. Not only ischemic stroke or the blood clot type of stroke, but also bleeding kind of strokes, which we also call hemorrhagic strokes. We really do want to draw attention to high blood pressure so that people can make sure that it is not something that is left unattended. Very often, folks don't have symptoms from high blood pressure in the here and now, but the risk of running hypertensive over the long term can lead to many other medical conditions.
You know, you talked about high blood pressure leading to stroke. I don't know, high blood pressure, stroke, these are some of the leading causes of death in this nation, aren't they?
That's right. Stroke is in the top five leading causes of death in our country. And stroke causes a lot of morbidity and mortality. It affects quality of life, functional status. So it's really important for us to try and prevent it as much as we can. And there are many risk factors for stroke, like high blood pressure, which are preventable and treatable. So we do want people to try and improve their blood pressure as best as they can with help of medicines, as well as other non-medicine lifestyle changes as well.
You know, you talked about high blood pressure and stroke being hereditary. But is there any connection with high blood pressure and, let's say, nationality of people?
Yes, there is. There are a lot of different ethnic, racial, cultural differences that can lead to high blood pressure. You know, some folks do end up having more salt in their diet, which can be a cultural difference, and that can increase risk of high blood pressure. There's certain genetic predispositions as well, and that can also lead to a varying degree of blood pressure problems.
You know, doctor, today there's so many, you have to be very cognizant of what you eat, because there's salt in everything. Even if it's something that's sweet, it's heavily laden with salt. And so people have to be careful and focused. Is it safe to say that, sir?
You're absolutely right. And it is so difficult reading food labels sometimes because the portion sizes vary from product to product, and the amount of salt often goes unnoticed. So it is really important that, especially if you do have high blood pressure, to be reading food labels carefully and monitoring the total amount of salt that you have. In fact, salt reduction is one of the best non-medicine strategies that people can implement to improve their blood pressure.
You know, Dr. Attar, I know of people who skip their high blood pressure doses, and because they talk about side effects. You know, let's talk about the inherent dangers in that.
There are plenty. You know, when you do stop a blood pressure medicine abruptly, sometimes you can even get rebound hypertension. That is, your blood pressure can spike up even more than what it would have been without medications to begin with. So skipping medications, especially blood pressure medicines, is not a good idea. And if you do want to stop or change your blood pressure medicine because of any side effect, it is appropriate to speak with your primary care doctor. In today's day and age, we have N number of blood pressure medicines, so we can always work with patients to find a medicine that is most suited to them. There are ways of finding the correct medication for you that is not only more cost effective, but medications that are longer lasting as well. So you may not need to take it, say, twice a day, maybe just once a day. So it is important to have that discussion with your doctor, be candid, honest, and have a transparent conversation about how you want to take your medicines, and we'll work with you.
When and where you take those medications, is that also important?
That's a good question. Yes, taking your medications at the right time is relevant. And some medications, especially blood pressure medicines that are also heart healthy, do need to be taken 2 and sometimes even 3 times a day. So figuring out a regimen that works well for you with your primary care doctor or your cardiology doctor is important.
Last question, and I could ask you a million questions because, you know, when you've lived as long as I have and you've seen the impact of people not following the regimen that they receive for taking these medications, you just know how important it is. And sometimes the people you love have to suffer through this, and all of us the same way. Are you predisposed, the older we get, more so, to contracting high blood pressure than when we were young?
Yeah, that's a good question. And in general, the answer is yes. As we grow older, we are at a slight higher risk for developing conditions like hypertension. You know, hypertension really is the pressure, the force of blood that it exerts on the blood vessels, which is the vessels that carry the blood around the whole body, including the brain. And with the high blood pressure that occurs over time, it causes damage and changes the vessels which carries the blood. And it is that causes the long-term complications as well, stroke being the big one, but also other many chronic medical problems, right from your eye, retinopathy, or even your kidneys, nephropathy. And these changes build up with time, and the ability of blood vessels to maintain its good integrity decreases with time. So the older you are at a higher risk of not only developing hypertension, but also the chronic problems that stem from being hypertensive for a long time.
Last question, because I know you have to go, but I have to get you back because I told you there's so many questions. Nothing more important than our health. And again, as we age, you just talked about blood vessels aging along with us and not being able to carry the blood as quickly as they have. It's, our bodies aren't any different than our automobiles, right? I mean, if your automobile gets older, it certainly doesn't perform at the same rate that it did. The oil changes have to happen more. So it is with your body. You know, I don't miss my doctor's appointments. I'm there ahead of time, and I feel great because I feel confident because I'm seeing my doctors on a regular basis. How important is that, doctor?
Comparing the body to a car and, you know, check up done, the oil changed. And similarly, it is appropriate to go into your doctors and make sure that, you know, get the routine blood work, a good physical examination, including vital signs like blood pressure is important. And sometimes you can catch a problem before it's too late. You know, catching a couple of elevated blood pressures gives good information to your doctor, and you can prevent a long-standing history of hypertension then. So yeah, going in regularly, seeing your doctors is of vital importance, and hopefully prevent many chronic medical problems.
So again, May is High Blood Pressure and Stroke Awareness at Frederick Hospital. Listen, Dr. Attar, I have gotten information from you that clearly I'm going to make sure others get. Is there any way or somewhere people can go to get further information on this being Stroke Month at Frederick?
Yeah, I think our websites do have information on stroke prevention as well. And we do have a lot of information at all our subspecialty clinic appointments as well. So if you do come into your primary care doctor, you can request for information, share with patients, giving them information on stroke signs and how to prevent it. And if you do see them, how to immediately get urgent medical intervention.
Hey, Dr. Attar, thank you very much for, you know, this great, great information. You know, what is the purpose of having these outlets if we don't use them to disseminate information that transforms and changes and protects the lives of people, right?
Absolutely. And I just want to thank you for doing that. We appreciate you using your platform to help us spread this important information and awareness to all your audience.
We're going to continue to do that. I look forward to having further dialogue with you. That's Dr. Hatim Attar. He is a neurologist at Frederick and the Medical College of Wisconsin. Thank you very much, doctor.
Thank you. Have a good day.
You as well.